I guess he's already got it running. Okay, turn to John chapter 8 in the Gospel of John. I was reading one of my old books the other day, and I ran across a statement made by Walter Cummins that said, as we continually feed our minds more and more of God's Word, we enhance our store of knowledge and direct our thinking according to that. That thinking, you know, according to what God's Word says. The more we put into our brain, the more we have a knowledge of God, the more we can direct our thinking to think in line with what God thinks. Pretty simple. Chapter 8, verse 29, Jesus Christ was speaking. He said, and he that sent me is with me, referring to God, right? And the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And here the word continue in my word is a word that means to remain or abide. If we abide in his word, if we remain in his word, we're not to be wishy-washy about his word. We're not to be vacillating or hesitant or doubtful, but we are to continue or remain in his word. And as you do that, you know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, if you don't remain in his word, what happens? Well, you muddle along, right? Yeah, you muddle along and you'll remain in bondage forever. Of course, the other thing is that once you receive that word and you have that knowledge, then you have to what? You have to act upon it. You have to believe it. But the first thing you have to do is you have to get that word in your brain and you have to keep it there. And for some of us, sometimes, that can be a challenge. It's a challenge, especially when we're faced with circumstances or situations or challenges, crises, whatever, and, you know, so then you come up against something like that, and how do you react? Well, the more word you have in your mind and the more word you hold, the easier and quicker it will be for you to grab your mind and get back to what God says rather than what your sense knowledge tells you, what the situation tells you, what the circumstances tell you. Let's go to James, the book of James. Now, we know that this book is written to people that were, it says here in verse 1, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. 12 tribes would be referring to Israel, right? But it's Israel, those that were born again. Because James was written very early on in the New Testament era, and it was written to Jews who believed, because that's all who believed, probably, at the time of the writing of James. There probably weren't, if there were some Gentiles that believed, there weren't very many. It was the early part of the church. But it's really speaking to those that are born again. And it says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. So one of the subjects here, or one of the things he's talking about, is when you fall into divers or different or many temptations. Life is full of temptations, isn't it? Aren't it? Ain't it? It's full of temptations. Years ago, there was a teaching on sin and sickness. And one of the things it pointed out is sickness is not sin, but rather it's a temptation. It's a temptation to doubt God not believe God. Temptations come in all forms, all sizes, all colors, all everything. Forms. And we get tempted all the time. We get tempted with obvious evil stuff. We get tempted by things that are stupid or seemingly innocent. All kinds of stuff. You know, there's temptations all the time to not quite tell the truth. You know, white lie. We call it a white lie. But a lie is a lie is a lie, right? Or stealing, you know, or being dishonest in some way or another. Those temptations come across our desk all the time. Not being kind or forgiving could be a temptation. Whatever it is, you know. But, you know, basically any time that you choose not to believe God but to doubt or believe your senses before God is succumbing to a temptation. It's a sin. You know, worry is sin because God says, don't worry. He'll take care of you. Oh, my gosh. God bless you. So count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. You know, just hang in there and be joyful. Knowing this, that when trying of your faith, that the trying of your faith worketh patience or endurance. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. You know, patience is a good thing to have, isn't it? Endurance. You know, if you're running a race, if you've ever run any distance or a distance race, sometimes in the race there's a point in time where you have the temptation, the desire to say, okay, I had enough, I'm going to stop. But if you keep running, usually what you get is what they call a second wind. You get a new found energy. Your body goes through a period where you get really fatigued, and then it overcomes that fatigue. It starts producing more whatever it produces, adrenaline and other things. And then you move ahead and you finish the race. Maybe towards the end you might get that fatigue again, but then you see the goal line and you say, I'm not going to quit now. I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to be done. And we come up with things like that in life all the time. You know, but what do you have to do? Well, you have to keep your eye on the goal. You have to keep in mind what you're doing. And if you don't have the endurance, if you quit, then you never have a chance to win. And a lot of times in things, it's not just being the first at something or being the best. It's just finishing the task in life. You know, how many times have you mothers raising little kids said, boy, I'm done with this. I wish I never had this kid. You know, you really can't do that. Well, some people do, but you really can't do that, right? Or you're not supposed to. But you run into those things, right? Or how many times you as a father or a husband say, man, I am so sick and tired of this family wanting things and needing things, and I'd like to just hang it up and leave. But you can't do that. You know, you got to have endurance. You got to hang in there. But the rewards of the endurance are great. So here it says, you know, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know, and wisdom is what? It is the correct or right application of knowledge. It's not just application of knowledge. It is the right and correct application of knowledge. Because if you have the wrong application, you might have a disaster. That would not be wisdom. That would be foolish. So if any of you lack wisdom, in what context? In dealing with tribulations, in confronting a situation and not being able to deal with something, or, you know, needing patience and endurance so that you can finish whatever task, whatever thing is going on, see through some problem that has cropped up. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. absolutely given him. You know, if you need wisdom, God will give it to you. The first place, of course, we go is what? His word, right? And then from there, God can work with us. If you have a need and you really need to deal with something, the first thing you should do is look in God's word and look as much as you can at every place, every verse that deals with that particular issue or that particular problem or temptation. And that gives you a good solid foundation for what to do. But then if you still don't know what to do, you can ask God. God has something to work with. You know, then you can understand it better. Then it goes on and says, but let him ask in faith, in believing. Nothing wavering. What does wavering mean? It's a bending over. It's vacillating. It's, you know, not staying the course. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And when water is blown about pretty easily, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, you throw a little pebble into the water and the ripple effect will go out over a pretty wide area, won't it? And if just a small breeze hits a pond, it will move the water. The stronger the wind, the more it moves, and the more, you know, it can back up a tide. If you've ever lived at the shore, you know, the wind can back up a tide and hold it in place for a long period of time. So we're not to be wavering. We're not to waver like the water in the wind or a wave that's tossed. For let not man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You know, if you're wavering, if you're doubtful, if you're vacillating, if you're not hanging tough, if you're not staying put, remaining on God's word, you're probably not going to get the answer from God. You're not going to get the results, you see? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, you ever been double-minded on anything? You know, my wife gets double-minded sometimes when we're going out and she can't decide what to wear. Should I wear this? Well, I don't know. Do you like this? No. You sure you don't like it? I like it. Wear it then. Well, but you don't like it. Never had that happen to you, have you? But in more serious situations, you know, we get double-minded, we don't know what to do. And we need to do what the word says. You know, a schizophrenic person is one that has a divided mind. That's what it literally means, a divided mind. You ever talk to somebody that doesn't have a sound mind? They can't hold a thought. They can't stay put on one thing. They're here, there, and everywhere. You know, it's very hard to achieve anything in life when you're like that, when you're double-minded or you have your thoughts going in every direction but the right direction. So we don't want to be unstable, and we want to be able to deal with temptations in the way that God would have us to deal with them. And one of them is to remain solid in his word, to keep his word in our mind, and then as we need information, we can ask God. And he'll give us the answer. He'll give us the wisdom. So when we're faced with difficulties, with challenges, with temptations, we ask God for wisdom on how to handle the situation. And we hold fast to that answer. You know, sometimes you get the answer from God and you get talked out of it. There's lots of situations in the Bible like that where people have gotten talked out of what to do. Paul, on the road to Jerusalem, he said, I'm going to Jerusalem. And then God sent all these people and said, don't go to Jerusalem. And where'd he go? Jerusalem. And he got thrown in jail and had difficulties. And it took him a long time to get, you know, out of the problem, out of the situation. A prophet in the Old Testament that went to tell the king. He was a prophet out of Judah, and God sent him to Israel. And he said, you go confront this king and tell him he's worshiping false idols, and if he doesn't change, Is there going to be bad consequences for the children of Israel? And he said, but once you do that, leave quickly and come right back to Judah and don't stop along the way. Don't get distracted by anything. Come straight home. And so the prophet went and did what he was told. And then he, on his way back home, this other old man who was an old prophet said, I'd like you to come for dinner. And the young prophet said, well, God told me to go straight home. He said, well, he told me to ask you to come to dinner. And so he went to dinner, and what happened? He died. He died. You know, he got distracted from what God told him to do. You got to stand fast on what God tells you to do. In verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You know, are you going to have temptation in your life?
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, but temptation is not the problem. Dealing with the temptation is what causes difficulties. Because we're all going to have temptations. Some temptations are easier to handle than others, right? They're much easier to handle than others. Some temptations, you know, if you set your mind and you know certain things are to be avoided or not even a consideration in your life, then when a temptation comes up, it's not a big deal. You know, it's just not a big deal. But if you've not disciplined your mind and set parameters on your life or guidelines for your life, if you don't see what the Word says, then it can be a problem. It can be a difficulty. So it says here, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Endureth temptation. But when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So when you endure temptation, you're earning a reward. That's pretty great. What the crown of life is, I don't know. But I hope I get one. Let's go to 21, verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. It sounds like you should lay it aside. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And the word engrafted means implanted. You have to have it implanted on your mind. In the Old Testament, oh, my goodness. Don't worry about it. In the Old Testament, in Joshua, before they went into when they went into the promised land at the end of Joshua, one of the things that God told Joshua to do was set up a pile of rocks and then plaster it and inscribe in the rocks the Word of God. You know, he was to inscribe it in there so that everybody could come, and it was a public place, and they could read the Word of God and know what God said to them. It's kind of interesting. It's never mentioned after Joshua, so I guess they would have done it. I think it says they did it, but then it's never mentioned again, so I don't know what happened to it. Maybe it got destroyed. People didn't bother with it. Who knows? But we are to implant the word in our mind. You know, receive the implanted word with meekness. Put it in your mind. Keep it there. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And then you have to do it, which is believe it, right? For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not forgetful, a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, as you do the word, it becomes more a part of your life. As you believe God in little things, it becomes more of a habit pattern to believe. As you stick to the word, it becomes more part of your life to just stick to the word, you see? If you vacillate, if you, well, I don't need to really do that, do I? You know, sometimes we were talking about it last night in the car, and my wife said something about sometimes we try to trick God. And I said, well, I don't know if it's trick sometimes, but sometimes we just think we can get away with stuff, you know. But you can't really get away with stuff with God because he sees everything, he knows everything. He's just a very forgiving and merciful God, is really what it amounts to. But that's not an excuse to sin, is it? Or succumb to temptation. It says in Romans, it says that, it says, you know, is grace a reason to sin? God forbid. You know, we're to do the best we can. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. One of the important parts of when you have that word in your mind is when you're confronted with a temptation, or you're confronted with a situation or a difficulty, that you have the word of God there to hold on to. You know, you have a temptation and there's a verse or a part of the word that comes into your mind to remind you, to give you that wisdom on what to do or which way to go or how to deal with it. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32, it says, ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You know, and sometimes people think that's a very narrow pathway or alleyway. But in reality, what the room and the magnitude of the road we travel with God is pretty wide. It's not, you know, with Adam, how wide was it? He could do everything except one thing. You know, and that's the way the devil tries to trick us. He tries to make us think, well, if I do the word of God, I won't have any fun. Well, why not? What's sin got to do with fun? What's stupidity got to do with fun? Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord God hath commanded you. There's that walk again. We did that the last couple of weeks, walking with God. That ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. And you know, throughout the Word of God, when God tells you to walk and to do his Word, one of the things he usually follows up with is, you'll be blessed. You know, it'll be well with you. He always says there's going to be a positive result when we do what he says. Not a negative result. Not going to feel bad for doing what God says, but you're going to be blessed. Said that just a couple seconds ago in James, right? The doer of the word will be blessed. Let's go to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. It says in verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. To stay your mind is what? It's not to waver. It's not to be vacillating. It's to stay your mind on the promise of God. To stay your mind on what he says and do it. You know, He says to do things, and we are to do it. So we do our best not to get talked out of it. We do our best to stay on what God says. Then it goes on to say, that will keep him in perfect peace of mind and stand in thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. God's strength never runs out. You know, he never runs out of juice. He never is running on fumes. God is always at full power all the time. He never runs out of strength, and he's there for us whenever we need him. So keep your eyes steadfast on him. Stay your mind on God, on the promise of God. Keep your mind steady. You know, the world would like to have us distracted, wouldn't it? And the world distracts us all the time. They're all the time telling us things that when you look carefully, it contradicts the word or tries to draw you away from the promises of God. You know, it's, well, God says this, but that's not exactly right. Or, well, you really need this also. So, God's word. Keep your mind stayed on God's word and his promises. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 38. This is where Jesus Christ goes to visit the sisters Mary and Martha. Martha. Now it came to pass as they went that he, Jesus Christ, entered to a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. I said that because Jimmy always makes fun of how I say the A's at the end. Okay, Martha. 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 Okay, so she received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Jesus Christ came into her house. They invited him in. And Jesus Christ is teaching the word and speaking and blessing people. And Mary is sitting at his feet. It's a pretty good idea. I don't know if that's literal or figurative, because a lot of times when somebody would, it probably is both, you know, because they did sit on the floor for the most part in those houses. But anyway, verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. So, you know, Martha, she's being the good hostess and she's taking care of stuff and she's running around and making snacks and making sure that Jesus has his tea and that his feet are clean and, you know, doing everything. And Mary's just sitting there listening to him. And so then Martha goes up to Jesus and she says, you know, I'm doing all this work and my sister, she's just throwing the load on my shoulders. It's not fair. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And the word careful there is distracted. Thou art distracted by many things. But one thing, or it says in the Greek, I believe, only one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Meaning, cool your jets, sit down and hear the word and get blessed. You know, don't get so distracted by all these things. You know, we get distracted a lot of times from God. And that's not what we need to do. We need to stay focused on God and what he says. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, this is right after verse 7, which says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So, just because you cast all your care upon God doesn't mean you forget everything and just let your life go to hell. And God's just going to take care of you. You know, you cast your care upon him, meaning you give it to God, that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. But then you still have to walk circumspectly in life. You still have to be sober and be vigilant. Because then it goes on to say, whom you resist steadfast in the faith, in the right way of believing. So you have to stay steadfast on the promises of God. Once you cast your care upon him, you still have to believe God and remain steadfast on his word, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, we all have the same afflictions. We all deal with the same temptations. We all deal with life. You know, we all have the same adversary. That's just the way it is. But we stay steadfast on God's word, believing, and we allow God to take care of the situation. But we got to keep looking at him, and we got to keep doing what he wants us to do, right? Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. This is a great verse. And this I say, chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. What's the word beguile?
Trick.
Seduce. Okay? When you trick somebody or seduce somebody, you don't just rip something out of their hands and run away, do you? Or you don't just make them do something that's wrong. But you do what? You kind of con them. Yeah, you give them false information, or you make it sound like it's a better thing to do the wrong thing than the right thing, and give you reasons and logic why you can do it. You know, that's being beguiled. And it says here, beware, or, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Enticing means you know, you're lured in, you're enticed. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith, or believing in Christ. You know, you have to stay steadfast. You can't be beguiled and enticed away from the word. You see? So you have to keep God's word in the forefront of your mind and your heart. So what does God tell us to do? How are we to walk through life? We're to be imitators of God. We're to walk in love as Christ hath loved us. We're to be gentle, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. You know, and so on and so forth. Then it goes on to say, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus in the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him. When a tree is rooted, it can stand against the wind and the rain and the floods and everything else. When it's not rooted, what happens?
Falls over,
gets washed away. We're to be rooted and built up in him, in Christ, which means what? We understand what he did for us. We understand what we have in Christ. We understand who we are in Christ. That's to be rooted and built up in him. And established in the faith, or the right way of believing. As ye have therefore been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We abound with thanksgiving. So if you're double-minded, if you are vacillating, you're not rooted. You're not built up in him. You have to be built up. And that requires that you keep your mind stayed on God's word. And, you know, it's not like you do it once and you've arrived, unfortunately. You know, it's like you don't pray once and say, God, take care of my whole life, amen. And it's an all-purpose prayer that lasts forever. It just doesn't work like that. I don't know why. I didn't design the whole thing, but it doesn't. And the same thing is true with your mind. You have to renew your mind every day. You have to keep your mind stayed on the word as a habit pattern of your life. It has to be a faithfulness, a steadfastness. It's not something you do once and you don't have to do it ever again. See? It's not that once you overcome one temptation that you're not going to get tempted again 10 minutes later, because you probably are. So, you know, we have to learn to deal with it. We have to learn to deal with it according to God's word. And let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Just probably back a page. Okay, chapter 4, verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing. And that word careful is that same word where Jesus Christ told Martha, you're careful about too many things. And he says, it means don't be distracted. Don't be distracted about anything or by anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And you know, that kind of lines up with what it said in James, where if you are dealing with a situation or temptations and you need wisdom, ask God, right? You ask God. So here it says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Whatever you need, whatever you're dealing with, you know, pray to God. Let God know what the situation is. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, God's going to give us peace, and he's going to take care of us. He'll keep our hearts and minds. And that's a good place to have them. So, you know, but it really depends on us not being double-minded. It depends on us not vacillating on God's word, on getting that word into our brain and keeping it there. And it's not an automatic thing. And it's not going to stay there forever because you did it one day or one time. You have to keep doing it. It's just the human brain is like that, you know. We're really good at forgetting things. We're really good at getting distracted. We're really good at making excuses, and that's not a godly way to live. So it takes some self-discipline. You have to read the word, and then you have to put it in your brain, and you have to keep it there. And then when you're confronted with temptations and circumstances and challenges, you have to get that word and put it in there and keep it there and have endurance in the situation. And as you have endurance in the situation, you'll see God's promises come to pass. You know, it's not always where you just pray and the answer's there and everything's hunky-dory. Sometimes it takes a little while before God can work out the situation for you. Sometimes it can be immediate, sometimes it's not. But, you know, life is not immediate. You know, life is a marathon. It's not a 100-yard dash. And so the more we can keep God's word in our mind, the more we can be steadfast in our believing, the more we learn to hold God's word there in times of temptation and difficulties, the more victorious we're going to be in our walk and in our life. So God, we thank you for loving us, for blessing us, and for taking care of us. We thank you for what a great God you are. And we just thank you as we keep your word in our heart and our mind that you do keep us peaceful and blessed, and that whenever we do what you want us to do, it's always going to be positive and a great blessing to our lives. And we thank you for this, and we thank you for the day ahead that we can just be blessed in doing your word and living a life for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.